So this is where we've been for the last few weeks. We looked at the text and the context surrounding our theme verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, which says, For the God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And so we talked about how there is a veil over our faces that separates us from God, and about how in the Old Testament, Moses couldn't see God face to face. And then even God's glory on Moses was too much for the people. He had to put a veil over his face. But in Jesus Christ, that veil is removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we suddenly are able to see God in a way more than we ever have before as a human race. And that in us, as God's light shines in us, it should also be a light that shines out into the world. And in talking about this, Paul took a moment to defend his ministry. He said, listen, because we believe that the veil has been removed, what you see is what you get. In other words, there's no mask, we might say it today. There's nothing between us and God, so therefore, there's nothing between us and you. We're not trying to put on anything. We're not trying to pretend anything. We're not out to get anything. We simply have received the light of Christ and want it to shine in your life. And so he gives a bit of defense of his ministry about how he believes that God's light shining in him is shining out to the world and reflecting God's glory. And what is God's glory? It's his love and it's his truth. And the very first truth of God is that you are loved, that you are created by love and for love. And then he goes on to say that because of this, because, you know, we don't have to hide anything, because Christ's light is shining in us, we can be honest about what's going on. When you turn the light on, everything doesn't look perfect, does it? No, but you kind of see more clearly what's there and what isn't there. The same is true in our lives. People think that we're trying to preach something that if you come to Christ and let his light shine in you, suddenly you're perfect and shiny, happy people holding hands are running around the world together. And we know that that is not true. All the light does is it simply brings a little clarity to the situation. You know, it simply helps us see things the way that God sees them. And so Paul talked about, hey, we've been through a lot. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of difficulty. We've been tempted to give in and give up, but we haven't, because while what's real in life is hard, what's also real is God's power at work inside of us. And so we're going to be real. We're going to keep it real and tell you how hard it is, but we're also going to tell you how good God is. And friends, to me, that's the sign of a mature Christian, someone who can be honest about how hard life is, but can also tell you with faith how good God is. And sometimes we don't know how those things go together, but we testify that they do. Then finally, last week, I talked about how Paul said, sometimes you got to speak up. There's wisdom. You got to know what to say and when to say and how to say it. But sometimes, not only with our actions, but with our words, we need to let people know. And that's really the only way that Christ shines in us, right? I don't have the gift of seeing people's auras. I don't know if anybody does. Somebody came up to me once and said, ooh, you have a beautiful aura. I said, really? I didn't know, you know. But so how can people see Christ in us, right? See the glory of God by our actions and by our words. It's by what we do and what we say. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm at the point in my life where I'm tired of debating, which is, I think both are important. I think both are important. I think what you say and what you do are important. And all we're really asking is that they match up, right? All we're ever really asking for someone is that they just match up, that you're just real, that you're real with us. And so we come to the conclusion of this series on being face to face with God. And what Paul says at the end of this passage, kind of in summary, therefore, his encouragement to the people reading, to the people listening, and to us today is, please don't lose heart. No matter what is happening, no matter what is going on, please don't lose heart. So let's look at our last three verses of this series together here for a moment this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We don't lose heart. We've been pressed. We've been crushed. We've been persecuted. We've been criticized. We've been maligned. We've been mistreated. We've been stepped on. We've been stepped over. We've been ignored. We've been left out. But we don't have to lose heart, because we know that while everything on the outside is wasting away, there is yet something on the inside that God is doing. It reminded me of these quotes from Viktor Frankl, who was a psychologist and who was in a concentration camp in Germany during World War II, from Austria, studied under Dr. Freud. These two quotes, he said, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." And then he said, "When we no longer are able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves." From a book he wrote called Man's Search for Meaning, which was originally titled A Psychologist in a Concentration Camp. And we think about those kinds of situations as inspiration, because in the worst of situations, and what's worse than a concentration camp? Not much that we can think of, although there are some comparisons. You know, that's where we get the term ghetto from, because you would force people that you didn't like, in this case the Jews, to live in a certain area. And then the ghetto develops into a concentration camp and develops into a death zone. And we have those situations today. In fact, as I was reflecting on this, I was praying for Gaza. I think the situation in Gaza is a concentration camp. And if you don't agree with me, think about it for a minute, and I bet there's more similarities than not. Because you separated out a group of people you didn't like, you made them to live in a certain area, and then you continually berated them until finally you started killing them because of the hatred. I may not be 100% correct, and that's fine, because I'm certainly not a political analyst. But I know that it's not just suffering that happened in the past, that there's suffering happening today that is on a scale that is absolutely horrendous and is wrong. But in the midst of that, what are we being challenged to consider is that while though something outside may be happening to us, what is God doing in us? Because you can take away everything, but you can't take away my ability to choose. My ability, I cannot change what happened, but I can change the way I think about it today. And I may not be able to get all the way there, but there yet remains within my spirit a step I can take today, just a step, that happens regardless of the situation that I find myself in. Regardless of what's happening to me, I know that God is doing something in me. That's the first part of the verse we read this morning. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day." We need to pay attention to what's happening around us. This is not about denying reality. There's no way that denying reality or saying, "Oh, it's not that bad," or "Oh, just get over it," or "Oh, you know, say, well, other people have it worse than me." You don't need to play the comparison suffering game. Doesn't matter. Your pain is your pain. You can be real about it. But here's the thing. Even though the reality of it is there, there's something that it passes through to get inside of you. And you know what that is? That's the way you think about it. So there's the reality of what happens to you, but then there's your assessment of that reality. There's the decision you make about what it means to you and how it affects you. And many people live in this idea where they don't have enough self-awareness to say, "Well, how can I do anything else? Because this happened to me. This is all I can do under the circumstances." As an old teacher of mine used to say then, "Well, then what are you doing under there?" Everybody's got circumstances. Everybody's got things. And we all filter it through what it says about us. So for instance, let me try to use a simple example. You're a child on the playground like I was, and somebody makes fun of you and they say something mean. And you know what? It's really mean. It's really mean and it really hurts, right? But is that what stays with me, what they said, or is it what I believe it means to me? What sticks with me is when I walk away thinking, "Oh, I'm stupid," or "I'm no good," or "That person hates me," or "That person might try to, you know, find me tomorrow and beat me up." I'm not going to say that happened. I was fast. But you know, you worry about these kind of things, right? You worry about what it means. And so this is not a denial of reality, but it's about understanding the perspective that yes, what is happening outside of me affects me, but God is working in me through those things sometimes, and sometimes in spite of those things. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to say God wants all of this to happen to me. We can say that, hey, what's happening to me, God is working through it inside of me, sometimes in spite of it, sometimes in a strange way through it. Because we want to focus on the fact that God is at work within us, even though outwardly things may be very, very difficult. We cannot choose some of our circumstances, but we can choose our reactions to it. We can't change what happened in our past. Not even the past of yesterday. Friends, hear me. Hear me clearly. We can't even change what happened yesterday. But we can choose today to believe that God is at work within us and that God will be at work within us. Sometimes the storm hits us, right? Sometimes the storm hits us like it hit the disciples and Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. You know, they couldn't control the storm any more than you or I can control the weather. Heck, in this state, we can't even predict the weather. We can't even know what temperature it's going to be the next day. We can't even know when it's going to rain and not going to rain, and snow and not going to snow. So why do we get so mad when it happens? Because it's completely out of our control. We can't do anything about it. And believe me, if you planned it all out perfectly so that you could weather the storm, guess what? Something would come up that would be out of your control that would challenge you yet again. We cannot control all of that, but we can trust in Jesus who was with us, and that makes all the difference. Remember the disciples in the boat? And some of them were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. Some of them were tax collectors and other kinds of people, and they didn't know anything about sailing. And a storm comes up, and it was a furious storm. And they're just wondering if they're going to survive it. There's nothing that they can do about it. There's nothing they can change about it. And they get upset with Jesus because where is Jesus? He's asleep in the bottom, in the back of the boat. And why is Jesus asleep? Because he's tired. He's in his humanity, and he's got to get his rest, and he's got to get his energy for what he needs to do. But Jesus also sleeps, and Jesus is at peace because he knows it's going to be all right. He knows in the end this isn't going to kill them. It's not time yet. And when he wakes up, he rebukes them and says, why didn't you have any faith? But yeah, I know the story. He didn't say, oh, that storm's not so bad, or why are you complaining about this? He just said, yeah, this is a bad storm. I'm kind of amazed I could sleep through it, bros. But why didn't you trust that everything was going to be all right? Because, friends, check this out. Check this out. What is also in the back of the boat? The stern. The rudder. The place where you control the direction of the ship. And who is there the whole time and has never left? It's Jesus. And in the middle of the storm, oh, I almost said hallelujah, but that sounds a little too corny after the song we sang. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. You know what came to me this morning? I didn't plan on saying this, but it came to me during the song. A lot of times in these songs, we talk about sing a little louder, sing a little louder. And you think about these worship things, right, where we're just trying to pump everyone up. Come on, louder. Come on, everybody, sing. And we're looking for this kind of great swell of voices. And it's triumphalism, right? We're tempted to triumphalism. Like, I got to sing at the top of, I got to be happy. I got to put a smile on my face. And when, Lord, protect my language in this moment, when all of the stuff is happening in our lives that's really messed up, right? And those people come in, hey, everything's great. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. Right? It's a fake to us. It's phony. We hate it. It turns our stomach. So when we were singing this morning, I thought, well, all the word said was, just sing a little louder. You don't have to sing at the top of your voice. You don't have to be louder than anyone else. You just have to sing a tiny bit louder than the storm. Come on. Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains. You don't have to have some great attitude about it. You just have to have a little more faith than the storm that you're in. You just have to sing a little bit louder. You don't have to sing at the top of your lungs. And why was Jesus so confident that they were going to be okay? Because he knows what we've been trying to learn throughout our whole lives, that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. The things we're going through, friends, are temporary. I know the night feels long and the dawn a long way off. And I know how many months and years and maybe your whole life you've been struggling with stuff. But I'm here to tell you, even 50, 60, 70 years is nothing to eternity, to 100 or 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 years. Paul writes, for our light and momentary troubles, and we say, yeah, thanks, Paul. They don't feel very light or momentary, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We have to have that perspective that this is temporary, that this is going to pass, that the storm will subside, and we will make it through. There's a great proverb, Spanish proverb, that I love, and I'm always trying to practice my Spanish, so bear with me. No hay mal que dure 100 años. There is no evil that lasts 100 years. I first encountered that when I was visiting Honduras many, many years ago. And part of our trip was we were visiting a clinic that was treating AIDS patients. And this was back in the 90s. And we walked in and there was a pastor there who was dying of AIDS. And wasn't very well at all. So they asked us, would you come in? You know, you're this group, this church group. Would you come in? Would you encourage him and his family? Would you pray for him? Of course. We prayed with him, and I was talking with the nurse about her work. And she said, well, we have this saying, no evil lasts 100 years. She's like, there's been no disease that we faced. There's been nothing that's going to last for 100 years. She said, we don't have the answers yet. We don't have a cure yet. But we know that we will find one, that this evil of AIDS will not last 100 years. And that's always stuck with me. It's always stuck with me that, again, when you look at things beyond our lifespan, think about what your ancestors went through so that you could be sitting here this morning. Hallelujah. Think about what your kids are going to do long after you're gone. Think about what your grandkids are going to do long, long after you're gone. We have to understand and put things into an eternal perspective. So number one, what's going on outside of us doesn't necessarily negate what God is doing in us. And God is always at work in us, renewing us. And whatever storm we're going through, while it may last 100 years, that's still nothing compared to eternity and what God can do. And every evil thing, every storm we face is going to pass. And if we believe that Jesus is with us in our boat, then we can have confidence that we're going to make it through, even when it feels like Jesus is asleep. The prophet Isaiah said, the grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of God endures forever. You know, even, right? We see it. Even this earth is not going to last forever. We know that everything has a life cycle, right? Everything dies. Everything has an ending point. But the word of God stands forever. And friends, I'm coming to believe that we can't focus on the manufactured word of God, the way it's given to us, either on a tablet phone, or it's not the words on a paper, but we learn that Jesus Christ is the word of God. So first and foremost, it's Jesus Christ who can even help us understand the words that are written on the page, right? And it's not the words themselves. It's not like I can open a Bible, right, like a magic amulet and just walk through the storm, you know, believing that it's going to chase everything away. But what it does is the Bible's a compass that points me to a reality, and that reality is the presence of Jesus Christ, who is the presence of Almighty God and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and every promise that God has made, every word that God has actually spoken, not what's written in the Bible. Friends, I'm changing the way I talk. When someone says to me, the Bible says, I'm going to gently say, I'm sorry, but no, the Bible doesn't say anything. It's written in the Bible, this and this. But what has God said? That's what's important to me. That's what's important to me. It's the word of God is what God has promised, what God has said. And all of these things I've been speaking, I believe deep in my heart that God has said. God has said, you have to understand that I'm doing something in you, no matter what's happening on the outside of you. You have to understand that no storm is going to last forever. You have to understand that your lifespan is but a breath to me, but a blink of an eye. But as short as it is to me, I care about it with infinite value and love because you are my creation, you are my child, and I will be with you. I will carry you through. This will not destroy you. In fact, even if it's death, hallelujah, Easter's coming up. Even if it does kill you, you wake up and Jesus is smiling and you're like, what just happened? He's like, well, death is not the end either. Surprise, surprise, there's more to life than even death. Isn't that great news? Isn't that good news? And then the final point, there's something, first of all, God is doing something in us, even though outwardly it can be difficult. Second point, what God is doing is going to last forever, and our sufferings are not. And finally, number three, there's more than meets the eye. There's always more than meets the eye. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Before we get to that proper, let me just say, there's more than meets the eye in every situation that you face. In every storm, there's more going on than you realize. God is at work in ways that you cannot see. In every person that you meet, there is more going on than you realize, right? And if we just use that, totally change the way we interact with people. A friend of mine gave me this great illustration. He said, draw a circle in your mind, okay? Draw a circle. That circle represents the person you know, right? And then put a dot inside that circle. That dot represents what you actually know about that person, right? And yet we get one dot, one instance, one interaction with someone, and we think we know everything that's going on in their life, right? And even though you might know more about what's going on in his life than she knows about what's going on in his life, none of y'all know the whole story because there's always more than meets the eye. There's always more going on. And God, give us grace and patience with others and with ourselves to say there's more going on here. For see, even when I'm bothered and frustrated by myself, at myself, because of things that are going on, and because of things inside of me that I want to change, I'm reminded there's more. God's doing more than I'm even aware of. God is working on my life. God is working on your life in ways that you can't see. God is working on your life in ways that you cannot yet see. So how do we train ourselves to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen? It is only through faith, my friends. For Hebrews 1:11, the great definition of faith, says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. For if you could see it, if you had proof of it, you wouldn't need faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You would not need faith at all if you had all the answers. If you could see everything laid out for you, you would have no faith at all. But there's something about faith that God desires. There's something about faith that is good for us to have. Let me just give you an example. Our children, right? You have all kinds of hopes for your children, do you not? Or your nieces or nephews or whoever you want to insert in that category, your grandchildren, right? You have hopes for them. Can you see what they're going to become? No. So you have no choice but to have faith that God is going to do something in their life, to have faith that there are promises spoken over their life, to have faith that God wants the best for them. You have to have faith that they're going to even continue to grow, that they're going to be healthy enough to make it to the next stage and to the next stage and the next stage. And you got to have faith that they're even going to have a world that they can live in that's not so destroyed and polluted that there's nothing left, that they may even be a country that's not so destroyed and damaged that they actually have a place to live. You got to have a faith. Otherwise, you would never even be able to raise any children. And more than that, you would never be able to even wake up tomorrow morning and go to work and live your life because you cannot see what the future holds. You cannot see what you are going to become. You cannot see what it's going to look like when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80. You cannot see the day of your death and what that last week is going to look like. You cannot know these things. But you can know the one who does. And you can train yourself to activate faith and be confident of what you do not see and assured of what you hope for but do not yet have. Hallelujah. Friends, that's the only way that I know that I cannot give up and I cannot lose heart. Is if I put my faith in Jesus and I say, you know what? Outwardly, I'm wasting away. I'm in the middle of a storm. But inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. These things that are happening to me are heavy, but they're temporary. And the glory that awaits me is even heavier, is even greater, is even more amazing. And so, I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose to focus my eyes on Jesus Christ, who I can see and can't see. It's kind of both for me. If you can say, can you really see God? I can see God in some ways. People say, oh, you can't see God. I would agree with that too. Yeah, I can't really see God. You know, it's a process, and that's where faith comes in. But faith and the Holy Spirit in my heart somehow, when things get their worst, they continue to say, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, even this morning, trying to get things set up and crazy internet stuff. And, you know, we're trying to put together a little church service. And I'm in the middle of the song. God speaks to me. Hey, this doesn't have to be the greatest thing in the world. You just have to sing a little louder. Just a little bit louder than the storm that you're in. Let's pray.